Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Have you ever felt a cool summer breeze? Yeah. Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? God is with you all the way, strengthening your heart and soul, guiding your way. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Life's a struggle, brother, from birth. Get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brothers, to save your very, very soul. Make sure the whole world understands the law and full control. Heart and soul, a struggle, brother. To come out of the cold, a struggle, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for the night show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our program is designed to provide this listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. And this particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children as well as parents. And our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. With that, I bring to you the nice host and hostess, Dr. Patricia Saladin and Mark Shahid. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Saladin. And to our very distinguished radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio, as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone. and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed in the blessed month of Ramadan, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows is an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and Rashid Salam of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And we are so elated this Wednesday as we have Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean back with us. And so that's a big alhamdulillah, meaning the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. And we want to invite those who are listening in for the first time to be welcome and to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab where you can bring it to the lab and ask questions, make comments on the information, education that we try to disseminate each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And we're also aware that many of you tune in and listen in by way of the Internet. And we'd love for you to be a participant. And for you to do that, you do have to call into the studio, IWDM Radio. So make sure you get your pen and your pad and take this down, the number down, and hopefully, inshallah, God willing, that some noteworthy things can and will be said tonight, and you want to take note of that. So those who listen by way of the Internet, for you to ask your question or make a comment, you do have to dial in area code 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673, and press 1. And Rashid Salam will notify Dr. Slaw-Dean and myself that you got your hand in the air. You want to ask a question, make a comment. And for those who just tune in and rather quiet, generally, we like to hear from you also. Maybe something tonight that would be said will resonate with you, and we would love to hear from you. There's no more than just giving the greetings and letting us know that the appreciation for what has been disseminated is resonating, marinating with you. And we also want you to know that this learning lab, like the Sister Learning Lab, the Question of Marriage Learning Lab that airs on Thursday night, it has the same foundation, meaning that we have four sources of four vital components. Yes, four. The first is Al-Quran, the final revelation for all of humanity. And then the second is the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. And third, the tafsir, which simply means a clear explanation by a scholarly leader and teacher, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad. And fourth is social sciences. Everything has been studied, even the human being and even human behavior. So these are the four sources of four vital components that comprise the foundation for disseminating information and education on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We also want you to know that over a period of 7+ years now, we have established some staples here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We simply say parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and yes, the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility. We want to dismiss the misnomer, misconception, perception that this is a role and responsibility of the mother only. It is also the role and responsibility of the father. Also, we have established that the role and responsibility of both the father and the mother is to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost in themselves, and then and their family, and then in their community. And we say inshallah, which simply means God willing, and those who are conscious, regardful of their role, responsibility, and obligation that they owe to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of parenting. Also, we have established that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that the glory belongs to Allah, who is perfect and above mistakes and errors and shortcomings, that He is the first teacher for His human creation. But when birth comes to earth, He is given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many interpretations of that. I simply will just say it is the mother that has the honor and distinction to be the first caretaker and the first teacher in regards to giving our baby girls and our baby boys that foundational knowledge that's needed and necessary to get them started on this thing that we call life. And so with that being said, it has become a tradition here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to have an overview from the last episode or production here on IWDM Radio. And we're going to bypass our distinguished co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean, as she's been away. But we're going to go to Rashid Salam to give us a summation of some of the highlight things that he captured last week. And then we'll bring on Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean. Rashid Salam, assalamu alaikum to you and welcome.
Aikum as-salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We had a very, very short introduction last week because we were just coming off Ramadan, and we were basically just reintroducing our audience to the book that we were reading. So I'm just going to give a quick overview because I'm right in the middle of some technical difficulties. So I don't want to get cut off here, but I do want to kind of share some of the information that we talked about. And we really focused in on the parents on this particular one because we were talking about parent detachment and this detachment theory where parents were not in tune or in line with their children's thinking processes because of their inabilities and their shortcomings that they had. So I'm focusing on, PAN, connecting, and accepting and nurturing. And that was the focus of our introduction last week as we began to aspire to the detailed information pertaining to the book that we had. So one of the conversations we were talking about was how parents were out of touch with their children and then not allowing themselves to meet the children where they were. Instead of telling children what to do and how to do it, we had to be sympathetic and understanding that our children are experiencing a lifestyle in the world that we're just not familiar with. So in that process, we were able to bring it back down to earth, start at the ground floor, meet them where they are, and begin to participate. And I left everybody with the six attachments concept that we're going to talk about tonight. And that is so important where we can give more detail into what last week was all about and also detail on what we need to do to make sure our children don't get hung up with peers instead of their parents. With that,
alhamdulillah, that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. Man, I tell you, excellent overview, and you know how important it is not to be detached with our children. You know, when we talk about this generation gap, you know, to be attached actually closes that gap and all. So at this time, we're going to extend the greetings to our beloved, distinguished co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean, and welcome back to the airways of IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be back. and how you're doing this afternoon.
Well, I'm still doing. I ain't done yet, and I'm always excited on Wednesday. Always, you know, I'm always really just hyped up because, you know, Dr. Shalom Dean, for years I've recognized, and I thank Allah, really, for being able to recognize that the first social unit in human society is the sacred institution of family. And some of the things that we detest, that we're seeing in the society today, both locally, nationally, internationally, we are very dissatisfied with, we're very displeased with. But we know that many of these things that are transpiring, these people, they have come from families. They have come from families, broken families, dysfunctional families. And so we've seen the dysfunctionality, the reality of not functioning in accordance with God's will and plan for the sacred institution of family life, but it starts there. And so what we're trying to do is in correct parenting, and we say that we are trying to reconstruct the destructed family life here. And so hopefully, inshallah, that Allah will bless us to make a difference for those who are listening in and those who are benefiting from it, that will listen to this maybe years and years from now, and also would invite their family and their friends and their neighbors and community members, you understand, where they can tune in and listen in and get this valuable information and education. So thank you so much. I'm still doing, and I ain't done yet. All praise and thanks belongs to God. Welcome back, Dr. Slodin. I want to give you, yes, ma'am. I want to give you an opportunity. I'd be remiss. You know, you've been gone, seem like forever and a day. They're just only just saying that how much we miss you here. And I'm quite sure our radio listeners only miss you also. Like, I'm Rashid Salam, and have to just salute Rashid Salam. He's done a superb job, you know, in your absence and all. But you were blessed, you know, to spend the blessed month of Ramadan with your family, your daughter and son-in-law and everything. And so if you don't mind, take a few minutes and just some highlights of your experience. I know it's something that you'll cherish for a lifetime. That's not something that always happens in all. But I know you're thankful and grateful that Allah bless you to be able to do that. Safe trip there, wonderful time there, memorable time there, I should say, and then a safe trip back to the continental USA. So once again, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Yes, I did have the opportunity to spend the month of Ramadan in Medina, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet City. I was able to do Umrah and also attend the Masjid Nabawi and also Masjid Quba. So I think the most amazing thing to me was the fact that I was in a country where everyone was observing Ramadan. Here in America, we are blessed to be able to observe Ramadan and to observe the rituals of our religion, and we have the freedom to do that, and we're very grateful for that. In Medina, everybody is doing it. It's not just a few folks; it's everyone. So, what I found, number one, is that you hear the adhan called all of, you don't have to worry about a clock or your phone going off or some device in the house to call the adhan, announce the adhan for you. It's the masjid down the street and or the other masjid down the street. So there are masjids all over. And in the neighborhood that I was in, there were two very nearby. And one masjid, I could just walk there, which I did very often. But hearing the adhan call for every prayer. And one goes off, one of them starts, and one caller starts, and then the next starts, and then the next starts. So it's just beautiful to hear that. And it's so funny, when I got home, I was becoming conscious of the time for one of the prayers. And I said, oh, okay. I said to myself, okay, the Adan is going to go off. I'm going to hear the Adan call me. You ready? And then I went, oh, okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to hear the Adan call me.
It was a reality check, right?
A reality check. And then the other thing was being able to go to do the Tawhid prayer. You know, of course we do Tawhid prayer here, but I have to get in my car and I drive, you know, for a few miles and get there, and then when it's over, you drive back home. But the Tawhid prayer was, as I said, the master was very close. I could walk to the master less than 5 minutes away. But this wasn't Master Nebawi. I did go to the Tawhid prayer at Master Nebawi. But most of the time I did it in the neighborhood, the local master. And it was so close that it was less than 5 minute walk. And one of the things that I noticed, that the schedule of things changed during the month of Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan, the business is closed during certain times. So a business will not open. Most businesses will not open, all of them, but most businesses will not open until after Asr prayer. So you get Asr prayer, and if you want, and once Asr prayer is over, the business is open. You can go buy, shop, and what have you. Then you have the people will close their businesses when prayer time is. And then after Tarawih prayer, the business will open up again. But they're going to be closed for Ishaq prayer. They're going to be closed for Tarawih prayer. They're not going to be open because everybody is those businesses are closed because the owners are praying. And then during the last 10 days of Ramadan, it was very interesting. This one I hadn't experienced before. We do start with prayer here, but in Medina and in Mecca, they will do part of prayer. We'll start at 9 o'clock. We end at 10. They stop at 10, and they do not do witr prayer. They stop at 10. You go. You stay in the masjid if you want, or you go home. In most cases, I went home because I was right next door to the masjid. But you go back to the masjid at 12:30 a.m. And that's when they continue with the prayer, but they call it tahajjud prayer. So because actually in reality, tahajjud prayer and tahajjud prayer are the same. We during the month of Ramadan, we call it the prayer, part of the prayer. So they would do part of that right after Isha, and then they stop at about 10:30, and then we go back at 12:30 a.m. and we start praying at about 12:45, and we don't stop until about 2:30 a.m. And then you go home. Now with us, when we went home, we stayed up until Fajr prayer time. So we'll do Suhoor, do Fajr prayer, go to bed. That's how the scheduling is. So you go to bed after Fajr prayer instead of, you know. So that was very interesting. So my sleep schedule when I got home was really topsy-turvy. But it was really wonderful. It was so wonderful, with the prayer and the canute that they would do, it was so passionate. And sometimes everybody in the masjid is crying. You just hear all you're hearing is sobbing, It was just amazing. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Mashallah, I'm so happy that
Allahu Akbar. I know it's a cherished memory for a lifetime to have that experience, and then of course, you know, now trying to get back acclimated, you know, reality check. Back to the United States of America, so, and everything, you know, and of course, I'm just aware of the fact that most of the believers there, that they're sleeping between Salatu Fajr and Salatu Zuhr. That's when most of the sleeping was actually done, and you also heard her say, in terms of business, you know, they sleeping off business and trade, you know, and nighttime was the right time if you wanted to actually conduct business and all. So it was a different environment altogether, and all, and we are so elated that you really, really enjoyed yourself, a wonderful experience, had a safe trip there and a safe return back here to the United States of America. And so, Dr. Shalaldini, I know you kind of heard the overview a little bit, and so we're going to be starting tonight on the six attachments in this outstanding publication that you actually recommended. And I just think it's so very, very important, you know, especially when we look at the social climate as it is today, and we see that when speaking about the dysfunctionality, actually when you see dysfunctionality in a family, a matter of fact, anything that ality is a play on the word reality. It's the reality of dysfunctioning. And so what we call functioning is that it's in accord with God's will and plan for the sacred institution of family life, and then what it actually is supposed to produce, as you hear the prelude that I give each and every time in terms of giving definition to the family life in terms of nurturing and cultivating these vital components. Well, in a dysfunctioning family, that's not happening. And nor are there any connections nor attachments that's actually happening there. And I think the authors of this outstanding publication, given six, I want to say to the radio listeners, I know we won't get through all six tonight, but I'm going to just ask you to mention them all and then go back to the first one. And we'll talk about the first one in terms of senses, but those of you, hopefully you got your pen, your pad, your ink pen, plenty of paper, and I want you to take down these attachments because they're very needed and necessary. If, in fact, that we are going to be true to what parenting is in terms of actually nurturing our children, and if we're going to reorientate our children from those that have been kind of, you know, influenced more in terms of peer and even peer pressure in that regard, where they have more influence and impact, oftentimes in a negative way in regards to our children, then these attachments that Dr. Patricia Slordine will be given are vitally needed and necessary. So this is a very, very important information, education, and you should want to take note to all of them because, inshallah, we won't be in any hurry. We will cover as much as we can tonight, and then next week we will continue to cover these attachments. And these are actually, when you think about it, they are actually natural attachments that oftentimes we never thought about, and hopefully, you know, that we can provide that experience for our children if you're still raising children or our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, community children, you understand, and why it is needed and necessary. So, Dr. Salahuddin, if you would do the honors of stating all of the six attachments, and then we'll come back to attachment number one, and we'll have a discussion on that. I want to say to our radio listening audience that we ask that you also, you know, if you have a question or you may have something that you would like to add to what it is that Dr. Slaw Ding, myself, or Rashid Salam may say tonight, we welcome that in all because understanding this importance, we really want to extrapolate as much as we possibly can from that. So, Dr. Slaw Ding, is all yours.
Okay, thank you, Brother Mark. The sixth way is attaching, and we have to understand that this is, as Brother Mark stated, that this is a natural thing, being attached, but when our children are seduced by the peer culture, we must come to terms with these attachments. We must understand them, because if we don't understand them, we'll have a very difficult time understanding our children. So those attachments are senses, sameness, belonging and loyalty, significance, feeling, and the last one is being known. So we'll start with the discussion with senses. The authors of this book describe senses as physical proximity is the goal of the first way of attaching. The child needs to sense the person he is attached to, whether through smell, sight, sound, or touch. He will do whatever he can to maintain contact with that person. When closeness is threatened or disrupted, he will express alarm and bitter protest. And we've seen that happen with little toddlers and little children when they get separated from their parents, or your mom stuff them off at daycare and they don't want to be separated from mom, so they scream and holler. So you get a picture of that. You know how that works. And that's natural. Although it begins in infancy, the hunger for physical proximity never goes away. The less mature a person is, the more he will rely on this basic mode of attaching. Peer-oriented kids like Cynthia are preoccupied with being together, occupying the same space, hanging out, and staying in touch. When attachment is this primitive, the talking can be gibberish and nonsense. My friends and I talk for hours without saying anything, says Peter, a 15-year-old. It's all, what's happening? And what's up, man? And you got to smoke? And where are we going? Or where is so-and-so? The talk is not about communication. It is an attachment ritual for the simple purpose of making an auditory contact. Peer-oriented children, have no idea what drives them so intensely. For them, it feels absolutely natural and even urgent to want always to be close to each other. They are just following their skewed instinct. And that is the author's explanation for senses, the attachment of senses. Did you want to add something to that?
Of course, give the name of the book, because I know that there's some people on. This is their first time here, and this is the resource book, the name of the book. And I think you'll find it to be a very interesting title of the book, Dr. Medina, Dr. Salahuddin, pardon me. Give the name of the title of the book, if you would.
Yes, the title of the book is Hold On to Your Kids, Why Parents Need to Matter More Than Peers. That's the subtitle. And the authors are Gordon Neufeld, PhD, and Gomor Mate, MD. So those love, and you can get this book on Amazon, and it's not a very expensive book at all. So those who are interested in having it, it is Hold On to Your Kids, Why Parents Need to Matter More Than Peers.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and I think it's a very interesting title of the book. And, of course, for those who may not have been with us when we first started the book, of course, we've given the title as it is, but we choose to use the word children as opposed to kids. And I know for some it's very objectionable in terms of actually using kids, because we know they refer to goats, young goats, as kids in that regard. So we refrain from using that word just when we're introducing the book, because we like for you all to take an interest and purchase the book. And Dr. Slaudine is giving you the authors and all. And if you purchase, you can follow along with us. It is a good publication in that regard. And you're going to hear some things from an Islamic base and platform that we will use here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You know, Dr. Slaudine, in terms of this first, and I think it's, it is the right approach in terms of senses, and we break, virtually are talking about the five senses, and of course I listened very attentively to that, and they left out the sense in terms of taste, and so the elevation of that is the experiences. So the first attachment is they kind of term it as primitive, or, you know, like first attachment that our children can actually have with us is expressed through sight, through hearing, through smelling, and also touching. You know, when we celebrated our seventh anniversary, I think it was Layla Muhammad that talking about the maturation, gestation, maturation of the children, the babies that when they're in the wombs of their mother, it begins there in terms of how our children are actually influenced. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us, and we're talking about social science and in terms of attachments being the five senses, being able to see, to hear, and yes, to smell. They're, you know, believe it or not, babies actually are able to sense, you know, the smell of their mother, and vice versa, and also the feel of touch. And especially, you know, I think we can relate, you know, we're talking about attachment, which actually relates to connectiveness, relatedness, a union, if you will, and the process of doing all of that is actually bonding. And you know, we establish bonding in the Learning Lab is building on natural development and nurturing the growth. So what naturally develops, it naturally develops first and foremost in that attachment through the five senses. And Alam relates that he actually in the Quran, in terms of the faculties that he's given to us, and a lot of emphasis is put on hearing and seeing. And believe it or not, one of the senses, you know, Dr. Saladin, is that sight is one of the senses that is one of the last ones to develop in all. But if, in fact, that a mother is trying to nurse her baby with the best of milk in terms of breastfeeding, here's what's happening. The baby is looking at the mother. The mother is looking at the baby. And usually mothers, they talk to their babies, you know. So then the baby is hearing and familiarizing itself with the voice of the mother in hearing the mother. Not comprehending, but hearing the voice, and also get accustomed to her body in terms of smell. Also, in addition to that, the touch factor. You know, believe it or not, they're able to know, you understand, after repetitive picking up, holding, burping, all of these things, you understand, that require that you actually have to touch your child. Okay, so you say, okay, well then, Mark Shahid, they didn't mention the fifth one, which is taste. But I thought about that. But taste is there, but it's on a higher level. We can look at it on a surface level. So, of course, if the baby could talk, they'll tell you this is good milk. It tastes good. I like the milk, you know. And they don't get the milk first. It's a watery substance that comes out that becomes an immunization for the child. So all of these things said, but taste on a higher level means experience. So you might want to put that down, means experience. You know, we're going to give you a taste of this, you know, taste of your own medicine, taste of this. We're going to give you the experience in this here. So taste is there, but it's on a higher level. But I'm quite sure if babies could actually talk, they would tell you that this is the best milk and it beats any formula and all. So this is, I think, a great way to start off in terms of attachment, Dr. Salaluddin.
Okay. It's interesting you make mention of these different things that babies, this is happening with the baby, and they're connecting to their mom, to their mother. And so this whole topic about attaching and what the office is bringing to our attention is that this attachment is become flawed when it gets when the peer becomes the attached, what the child attaches to, then because everything else is natural, the baby is attaching to the mom. The toddlers, you know, when they become, they've gone through a stage of maturing. Beginning, what you explained earlier about the nursing and touching and hearing, and the child is listening to the mom while the child is in the womb. The child can hear.
That's right.
The mother should be talking to the child in the womb. She should be reading to the child. She should be reading Quran. The child should be listening Quran while he or she is in the womb. So all of this is happening. This is a part of the attaching to that mom. But what the author is showing us in this what actually happens, and we see it in society. We may see it in our own children, or we may see it in our grandchildren, but we see where our children are becoming detached from the family and attached to their peers, and their peers are much more important than the members of the family. So that happens because we, as the parent, we're lacking and we're not doing what we're supposed to do. So as a mom continues with nursing her child, you know, today it may be that mom is not looking at the child. It may be that mom is looking at her phone. She may be going through her phone, going through her messages. The mom may not be talking to the child. And mom may be talking on her cell phone. You know,
yeah.
So that becomes a disconnect. Now the baby is looking at this person. It's not looking at them back. You know, they don't see them. And then, I see sometimes moms in the grocery store or in the store. The baby has, the young child has a phone in their hands. They're looking at the cartoon, or they're doing this or they're doing that on their phone. And mom is doing the shopping where the phone should be, the child should be interacting with mom and what she's picking off the shelf. And she should be explaining to them what you're getting off of the shelf and what this food is and what this item is. That's a learning opportunity that's being missed. So we are not, the disconnect, that attachment to that peer
is happening because we're not keeping that that attachment that we should be doing, that that's natural. We're not keeping it going. We're, as a parent, we're not doing that, and so that's the problem that we're facing. And we're normal. We are social. What we do is a social act. We are social beings. Allah created us as social beings.
Yes.
And it's emphasized in several ayats in the Quran, ayat Surah 49, ayat 13. It's emphasized how we are created to get to know one another. So what is that child doing? That child is getting to know the mother and the father and the other members of their family. But if we don't make the proper steps for them to do it, for them to do that, they're going to get to know somebody else. Well, that's the those are my comments on that.
I want to say takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Takbir means glorify God first and foremost, and God is greater, bigger, and more important than anything that we can imagine and know. And alhamdulillah, the praise and the thanks belongs to God. Excellent, excellent commentary, Dr. Salahuddin. You know, I think you just really bring up some points in terms of the detachment, what naturally can and will happen. And we just, you know, started with the baby, the infant. The infant means not yet speaking, but all of these five senses come into play for the attachment. But as the child begins to grow, as you say, a toddler, and all of these things going through the formative years, what should be happening and formulating in the life is the attachment, as you say, so many distractions, even as a toddler and even going beyond that, that don't allow that type of bonding be able to build on what naturally develops and nurturing the growth and keeping that attachment current with our children. Very, very important. So those who may just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and also Rashid Salam and Mark Shaheed here. And we hope that you have a question or comment, some excellent commentary by Dr. Salahuddin in terms of how this life actually gets detached. And she so eloquently articulated. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, add something to that, or if what you just heard is resonating with you, we want to give you an opportunity to press one, if you would, please. And maybe you just want to give Dr. Salahuddin the greetings. And she haven't been with us for quite some time, but we are really, really elated that she's back and doing what Allah has blessed her to do. And so those who are listening by way of the internet, you have to call in to IWDM Radio at number 714-816-4673. Press 1, and Rashid Salam will let us know that you got your hand in the air, you got a question, a comment, or you just want to let us know what you're hearing is resonating with you and how important is attachment. And this first attachment, sometimes there's a detachment early on in our children's life. Rashid Salam, are you there? And are there any hands in the air? And I know that if there's nobody's hand in the air, you got something to say on this first primitive attachment in terms of suspense.
Yeah, Margit, you know how I feel about that, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Listen to it. My focus is basically on parents. You know, I know we talk about this detachment theory a lot with our children being detached from us, but what about us being detached from them? And what are some of the things that we have done to allow our children to be detached from ourselves? So the work and the job to be done is awesome. It's humongous. And it has to happen more because our children are basically attaching themselves to this world, which has no good in it for them at all. I just wanted to say that, but we do not have any hands raised at this time.
Okay, well, alhamdulillah. No, yeah, so your father, I think, is just putting the exclamation point on what Dr. Salahuddin has said in terms of these things where the parent obviously has to be the initiator of attachment in that regard and keep that attachment intact in all because, as you so eloquently articulated, and Dr. Salahuddin, is that parents, and you know, we're seeing, you know, we're going to do a little research and see the age group in terms of, you know, having children maybe at an early age and not being ready to be a parent. And so we want to make sure that we include the biological dad of this child. It's not only the role and responsibility of the mother in terms of keeping the attachment, but it's also the role and responsibility of the biological dad. And, you know, I like to differentiate between father and dad. You know, if you're not impotent, you can become a dad. But a father is a role and responsibility. And so we're talking about being consciously regardful of that in terms of keeping that attachment with our children and all, and not allowing certain things to interfere with that. And because we're talking about peer attractiveness and all, there's all those other side distracting things, I should say, that precedes even when they get to the age where now they want to socialize more and want to be more with their friends, and their friends, as they say, everybody is their friend, you know. You know, Dr. Salahuddin, we used to hear that all the time, and I'm quite sure if your parents didn't say it or grandparents didn't say it or you probably heard it said, everybody's not your friend. But, you know, as you so eloquently articulated, that we are social beings, and so it's natural to want to have friends. Unfortunately, we oftentimes, especially being very young and all, we need help in terms of selecting who is really a friend and in terms of how we define what a friend is. And so oftentimes it's those persons that we call peers that don't have the principles and don't have the values that maybe your parents are trying to give to you in terms of keeping that attachment, you know, in place. They can actually have more power of influence over our children if, in fact, that we don't invest the most important and non-redeemable, I call quality, time that we have to put in with our children. Dr. Salahuddin?
Oh, definitely. We have to be, there's so many things that parents need to be aware of and should be doing in order to maintain that attachment that is naturally there. It's a part of the fitra. One of the things that parents should do is, they should know the Islamic way of life. They should study the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and peace and blessings be upon him. And they should also be aware of what's in the Quran. What did Allah say about how we are to govern ourselves and to govern our lives? And know what Allah expects of his creation. Parents should know that in order to raise their children. They should also know the purpose of the human being. Know that Allah created man and jinn in order to worship him and him alone. The parents should know that, live that, and pass it on to their children. Parents should provide an Islamic environment for their children. Learn what is the best environment in which to raise a child. And they should provide an Islamic education for their children. That should be happening from the time of birth. We should be doing these things with our children, so their hearts and their spirit
and their knowledge will protect them from attaching themselves to unhealthy people and unhealthy ways of thinking and unhealthy habits. You know, these are things that we have to start thinking about as a parent, a young parent, thinking about early when we decide to have children. We should, before we have children, we should start working on ourselves to live the life that our Creator has prescribed for us to live. And it's important. If we don't do that, then we can't pass it on to our children. We can't see. We allow children to get off into things and have friends and be in places that they shouldn't have and be. So, we should. There are lots of things that we can do. We don't have to fall victim to this, and our children do not have to fall victim to attaching themselves to unhealthy peers.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's very well said. And you know, when you use that word prescribed, it just took me back just a little bit past, two weeks back into the blessed month of Ramadan, where Allah says that He has prescribed fasting for you, as He prescribed fasting for those before you, that you may be able, the translation or expression is self-restraint, self-management, self-control, self-discipline. And don't we need that? But actually, it means to become more God-conscious. All what you're saying could be actually summed up in that regard, because it would be all of those pillars that would help to bring about this self-restraint, self-discipline, that attachment and what is to grow and develop in our children, so very, very important, vitally important in all, and not only in terms of the verbalization in which our parents should be talking to our children all the time and not missing out on those teachable moments, but they have to also, as we talk about the five senses, not only hear it, but they have to see it. It is not only tell, but it is show and tell. So we're getting close to the top of the hour here. Rashid Salam, are you still there? I want to give you a minute for any closing remarks that you would have, and give Dr. Saladin, let her have the last word here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Rashid, you got a minute there. What would you like to leave the radio listening audience with? Are you there, Rashid?
Yes, sir. I like to leave him with Surah 30. Oh, yeah, 30, Mark. That's all I have to say.
Well, say a little something there, 30-30, so they can read it. But how does this connect with the night?
Well, I think the bottom line is, Mark, that we've had an opportunity to utilize a book and some information that has been brought to all of our attention that's right in line with our belief system, the line that we all believe in, and the fact that it's so effective. You know, the problem, what's happening to me, Mark, is this, that we have been able to identify this to be a universal problem. It's just not so much our problem, it is a universal problem, and I think we need to begin to pay attention to everybody looking into this mythology, looking into what's wrong with the children, and looking at the condition of the world and our communities right now, and this is basically where we should all begin, with our parents, with our children, building individual life, taking care of the family life, and making sure that our community life is evolving in the manner which we should. And that's all I need to say. Thank you so much.
Very well said. So thank you so much. And we'll be looking forward to you engineering in the next hour on the MGM Roundtable. And please make sure you get that bio of our beloved sister. I guess they'll be coming on, if you would, Rashid Salam. And so we want to give Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean the last word in terms of closing remarks. You got a minute. What would you like to leave with the radio listeners? Dr. Slaw-Dean.
I would like to invite our radio audience to join us next week to continue this conversation, and please bring your comments, because I know
Dr. Slaudine, are you still there?
I think she was dropped. I'm not sure. Her mic is still open.
Oh, okay. Dr. Slaudine, we can't hear you for some reason. Did you?
Oh, her phone dropped, Mark. She'll come back in a second. And we did get one hand that's been raised, Mark. We had.
We're going to ask our special guest to please be patient with us. We're going to make the transition in just a moment to our special guest, educator extraordinaire, Dr. Medina Waikil. Okay, so please, you can open up the mic, and we pray a lot that Dr. Slaudine will be back with us in a minute. She'll call back in and give her opportunity for her closing remarks. Rashid, who do we have?
Yes, sir. The number is 856-718. Oh. Please state your name. Tell us what you call me.
I think I know this.
Well, you already know who it is.
I think it is. Well, okay. Assalamu alaikum, my dear sister.
My dear,
right there. Sultana Ali, tell them who you are and where you're from.
This is Sultana Ali from New Jersey, South Jersey.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that we need to institute, because I have a small group of young women who have had children out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's called, the group is called, I Am a Human Development Specialist, I Am a Mother. So it's for to learn how to be a mother and what you have to give to the institution of raising your child.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent, you know, and Sultana Ali, you know, Dr. Patricia Slaudine and myself, we're going to be getting in touch with you, and like for you to come on and be one of our special guest facilitators so that you can disseminate that information and education in terms of being a human developer specialist. I mean, I just love the verbiage in terms of that, and don't we need that today? You know, to help in terms of develop human development specialists specializing in human development. This is something that we see is vitally needed and necessary, but it's lost because we see people walking around in a physical body resembling a human being, but we see inhuman behavior, almost like some animals don't behave in that way. So thank you so much. As we close, at the end of this hour, we're getting ready to transition.
We have Patricia back on, Doctor.
Okay,
Dr.
So the MGM. Thank you so much, Sister Sultana. Keep on listening, and you're going to get a call from me, and we'll talk about appearance here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Thank you so much.
You do have Patricia back on. She's back
on. So, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, you're back with us. So, please give your closing a minute, and then we're going to transition to the next production, the MGM Roundtable. Dr. Slaudine.
Mark, I just wanted to invite our listening audience to join us on next week. We're going to be discussing sameness. Which is the second attachment, and I think with our audience input, I think we can have a great discussion. So I really invite them to join us, and that's it.
Yes,
see you next
yes,
week.
Ma'am, and I concur
you.
With you. So sameness will be the topic next week, and the sixth attachment. And these are things that we need to know as parents and grandparents, as family members, even mentors and all of this, and even foster parents and all. This is helpful information, education, how important it is to be attached to your children. So we want to thank our radio listener on this first hour for coming to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Thanks go to Rashid Salam for his insight and wisdom that he shares. And a very, very special thanks to Dr. Patricia Slaudine. We are so happy, elated that she's back with us here on IWDM Radio and making the valuable contributions that each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month, in terms of sharing her insight and wisdom here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So I want to say assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. And you might want to stick and
stay.
You might want to stick and stay because I think this next guest, you know, there's a special affinity that you have to and for her, the outstanding work that she has shared. And so we want to say to our ready listening audience, we get ready to take a pause for the cause. We're going to ask you, if you would please, stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back.
You mean the whole world to me.
IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And before each and every production here, I always like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ashhadu an ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed in the blessed month of Ramadan, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mar Shahid. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I would like to extend the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God Allah can give. And it becomes not only a greeting, but also a dua and an obligation on the giver, as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum. And we want to say to those of you who tune in each and every Wednesday, you know I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community. That's the community of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. And I have guests that sometimes are not in our community and looking to do more in 2024, taking on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as I'm so very, very honored to have one of our educator extraordinaires, you know, right here in the STL. And before I bring on Rashid Salam, are you there? And do you have a bio on our beloved guest that's there?
I still don't. What was one? I don't have one more.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's okay. We're going to do a little improvising here. I think I know her well enough to say some things and also give her an opportunity to introduce her own self. But as I say, one of our outstanding educators, Dr. Medina Waikil, has a PhD in education and specializing in curriculum writing, you know, and she has worked with these schools in terms of trying to help establish, I would say, more like a standardized curriculum for the Muhammad schools that we have across the nation and with others in terms of the consortium that have been working for years in behalf of the Muhammad schools that it is that we have. And also, as she's the chairperson right here in the STL, Gateway City, where I reside, as the chairperson of Sister Clara Muhammad School Committee. And she's also an outstanding author. She's authored many books. I don't even remember the number, but we're going to find out in a few minutes, and such publications on Bilal ibn Rabah, who's the first mu'ezzin and treasurer of this community of the Honorable Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a very detailed, informational, educational book on janazah. I think, to my recollection, it's the first of our kind that's produced from our community. And so she's been following what our beloved scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, have encouraged all of us to do, is to put it in writing. Put it in writing, put it in a book. And so I'm honored, you know, to have her with us tonight. my beloved sister, Dr. Medina Waikil. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Medina Waikil, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark, and your listening audience. And I want to begin by saying, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I thank you for the invite and the opportunity to share information about my new book and also information as well about just the importance of us establishing our written history. So
yes.
I want to thank you so much for this platform.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, the honor is all mine each and every time I invite you. And it's one publication after another. But this one is so very, very intriguing. Muslim American Quranic Flag for Rashida. That's the name of the new publication. Hopefully I got it right and I stand to be corrected. A Muslim American Quranic Flag for Rashida, and is actually a publication that's giving the history of our flag. And I found the topic to be so very, very intriguing and interesting and all. And as Allah continue to inspire you with these publications, and it provides education for us, which is so sorely needed in our community, but also really in the world. I mean, because when it becomes a form of propagation, a da'wah, in terms of people getting to know who we are and what it is that have been established in this community and what is we're representing in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So, Dr. Medina, I know a lot of people that's on that actually know you and all, and not only locally but also nationally, but there may be some people on that don't know really who you are. So I want to give you a couple of few minutes, if you would, to say anything that you would like to say about yourself before we begin this interview on this outstanding publication. And once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. And once again, thank you. And you pretty much summed it up in the bio, in my bio. You did a better job than I would have done.
Yes, ma'am.
So, alhamdulillah. My name is Dr. Medina Waikil, and I reside in the STL, St. Louis, Missouri. I'm a native of St. Louis, Missouri. I am an educator. I almost said former educator, but once you're an educator, you are always an educator.
Yes.
So I was an educator for more than 30 years in elementary, middle, high school, college, and university level, both in public and private school. And I was introduced about 12 years ago to the art of writing, and I have been hooked on it ever since. So I am thankful for this opportunity this evening to share my newest release, my newest book, which, as Mark said, is entitled A Muslim American Quranic Flag for Rashida, The Story of Our Flag. So if I may delve into it a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. Well,
okay.
Yes, ma'am, that's why you're here. And, you know, let me ask you, you know, before we actually get into it, this is a question I always got to ask authors. And, you know, praise be to Allah, I've had so many very distinguished, esteemed authors such as yourself. And so you're not new to this. You're true to it in that regard, because and I have such a high regard for authors. And especially authors that actually are being inspired and motivated and making contributions that we can all appreciate and value and benefit from now, but also later, and so I want to say that first and foremost. So I got to ask you this question in terms of your inspiration and motivation, you know, and the reason I'm asking that, because oftentimes people wonder, you know, you have great poets, poetress and poets, you know, that sometimes it's like Khalilah Akbar, who is my co-host, that'll be on with me tomorrow in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You know, when these things actually come to you, now we know that there won't be any other prophet or what, but, you know, we do know that Allah continues to inspire and motivate us, and especially those who have the heart and the intent, the motivation to continuously to spend out of that which God has given to them. And I can say you truly have done that. So, Dr. Medina, what has been your motivation, particularly for this publication, mm-hmm. an American flag for Rashida? Please share.
Sure, of course. Well, it's really a simple story. I believe I was inspired to write this book, and I want to share my premise for the book. I really became interested in researching and writing this book because of a little girl who I think she appeared to be maybe about 8 or 9 years old. I'm not sure of the age. And I was visiting somewhere, another center, another mosque, and I noticed that she was standing looking at the flag that many, many of us have on our walls, portray on our walls. And she was looking at it with a lot of interest. So there were a few adults standing around, two or three adults, having a conversation like we often do after prayer. We'll share our experiences and our week's activities with one another. So we stand around and have conversation. So this little girl asked a question about the flag that was hanging on the wall. But I don't remember exactly what the question was, but it was related to something, a feature on the flag, and she was very curious, very inquisitive.
Yes.
So the adults that were standing there, I believe they heard her, and I believe that they understood what she was asking, the question she was asking, but none of them were able to give her an appropriate answer. And so I'm not sure whether or not they knew the origin of the flag, or I'm not sure whether or not they simply ignored the question. I'm not sure. But I became really intrigued by that. So I thought about that incident. I thought about it actually for a couple of years, believe it or not. It wasn't something that popped in my head immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And after thinking about it on and off for a couple of years, later I decided that others may not know the origin of our flag or the historical events surrounding our flag, especially the younger generation. And, of course, many of us have the beautiful, beautiful picture hung on our walls at home, as I did when my children were coming up. And we have it in our Islamic system, mosques, our masjids. We have it at our Islamic events, and we see it every day. But I'm just curious as how many of us really know the origin of it. I know that, being honest, when my children were small, I didn't know. And it wasn't until I began to research
that I really discovered the historical information behind the origin of the flag. And curiously, my children, even though I displayed it in my home, they never asked me any questions about it. Had they, I probably would not have been able to answer the questions. But that was my premise behind researching the book, my interest in it, to make sure that this historical data is passed on from generation to generation, because if we don't write our history, who will?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, yes, praise and thanks belongs to God for that, you know, and I know I'm very elated in regards to that inspiration as it stayed on your mind, stayed in your heart in terms of that. And it's just thinking, you know, not only was this a question that this young sister Rashida had, but what about others? And, you know, Dr. Medina, also thinking while you was you're saying that in terms of your inspiration, motivation for that, then the question also comes up, how many people that's in our community, depending on when they were actually born, know that we actually have a flag? You know, I was just thinking in regards to that, that how many just know that we actually have a flag in that, in terms of representing. You know, flags actually represent something to people, and even many countries, it's a violation of the law to actually be disrespectful to the flag. And we have a Pledge of Allegiance, you know, here in the United States of America. We pledge allegiance unto the flag, you know, in that regard. So I think that's so very, very important. So at this time, you know, you've given us a really excellent background on the inspiration and motivation. So this publication, A Muslim American Quranic Flag for Rashida, and you put it in that regard, but I'm thinking that it is for not only for her, but for, you know, not only for children like her who have a wonderment in terms of wondering, natural curiosity, and for those who just may not know, I'm quite sure that this book has that type of information. So begin to start telling us something about the book in terms of chapters in the book and all.
Okay.
And, yeah, and then also if the book has been, in fact, published, and we're going to give you at least a couple of opportunities to say how people can purchase the book. And I just want to just say that you're an outstanding author. I'm not saying that because we reside in the STL, but she is, and she is an outstanding researcher. She wants to make sure that anything she puts out, she has researched, and researched again. Dr. Medina, it's all yours.
Okay. Sure. Thank you again. So, emerges from a need for us to know and understand the origin of the Muslim American Quranic flag, and that's actually a more proper name for it. Most of us say the flag. So the compelling events of the book gives me an opportunity to dive into what it means to have an authentic experience that connects one generation to the next, but at the same time exposes both generations to the pursuit of truth. So I chose the name Rashida based on the little girl, the story I just told you, who appeared to be about 8 or 9 years old. And in the book, she's 9 years old. And I named her Rashida because there's always a name that I favor. So in the book, so often we quest for knowledge and understanding. And that kind of leads us to discover our enduring legacies of our Muslim history, our Muslim innovations, our Muslim advances. So this story, what it does, it takes us through an enlightening journey of the story of our flag that advances our history as an indigenous Muslim African American people under the leadership of Imam Warsi Muhammad. So within the pages of the book, you're going to encounter a timeline, what I like to think of as a timeline of important events that tell a story. It tells a story how the origin of the flag came into being. Now, there might be one or two pieces of information that was left off, not intentionally, of course. So the book serves as a blueprint for what we should know and what we should understand, because it takes us back to the days of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it brings us forward to the leadership of his son, Imam Warsi Muhammad. You know, today we don't live in the dark ages today. We live in an enlightening world that captures our attention every day. And we have to be concerned about what we're paying attention to. So there is really an overreaching need for us to know and to leave behind our legacy, our history, our advances, and for us to tell, as I said before, for us to tell, you know, our own story. I often wonder, we come face to face with many of us, particularly the older generation, come face to face with seeing our beautiful, beautiful Muslim Quranic flag. And I wonder how, you know, if you've ever wondered about the design and the origin of the flag. Have you ever wondered about the story behind it? If your child or someone younger asked you a question about the flag, how would you explain it? Would you be able to explain the origin to them? What, and if not, what message is that sending to the next generation of bright and wonderful minds? So many of Muslim African Americans today, I'm sure we have the flag hanging in our homes, but we should know something about it. So what I really want to get into now is the story itself. And I'm not going to say too much about it because I want you to purchase the book, of course. I want you to purchase the book.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. But, well, we're going to appreciate Dr. Medina, all that you give to us, even as an appetizer. Just as they say, whet your appetite so that you will purchase a book, and that's why you're here. You know, when authors put a lot of time, energy, and research so that they can bring information, education to those that have a natural curiosity to want to know, as Rashida and all, and hopefully we as adults, we haven't lost that curiosity either. So before Dr. Medina gets started, we're going to take a pause for the calls. We need to take a pause for the calls right here and now and everything. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, know we got a good audience out there. And those who listen by way of the Internet, we know we have quite a few listeners by way of the Internet. For you to be able to ask Dr. Medina Whitekill a question in regards to this outstanding publication, and all, and when we come back, we're going to have her the first time to say how you can purchase the book, and then she's going to give to us what she would like to give to us in regards to the book. It's going to be an appetizer, you know. She's not going to give you the full course meal, and of course not. You should not expect that. You should want to purchase it because you can get all it is that have been researched and put in there that will be a benefit to you, your family, and even future generations in your family. So we're going to take a pause for the calls, and you know I'm going to ask you, if you would, please press 1 and stick and stay Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause from the class. I think we're supposed to be taking a break at this time. I don't know if my engineer is there or not, but maybe not. Okay, so we're just going to go ahead and continue. But I do want to say this in terms of taking just a pause for the course. I want to let you know that this Saturday here on IWDM Radio, we will have a...
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? Out of all you're the only one in place. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, "Into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong. You held on tightly to me. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love."
IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable with your host, Mark Shaheed, and our very special honored guest, Dr. Medina Hill. We want to thank Rashid Salam for that selection, my good brother and friend, entertainer extraordinaire, Imam Umar Siddiqui, who will be amongst many of the entertainers that will be at this year's 2024 New Medina Retreat there in New Medina, Mississippi. So please stay tuned for that. And so we want to go back to our distinguished, esteemed guest, Dr. Medina Waikil, in this outstanding publication. Thank you, Rashid, for that. In terms of Muslim American Quranic flag for Rashida. Back to you, Dr. Medina. You just get ready to give us an appetizer, I do believe. And if you would, before that, let the radio listening audience know now, those who have pencils and ink pens and pads and paper, where they can purchase the book, and then we're going to give you another opportunity at the end of the production, if you would. So please, Dr. Medina.
Sure. Okay. The book was released last week, so it is available as of today, and you can purchase it on Amazon. You can also purchase it on my website. I have an online bookstore, and you can purchase it on my website. My website address is my first and last name, which is Medina, M-A-D-I-N-A-H, Waikil, W-A-K-I-L, books.com. And that's all one word, Medina, Waikil, books.com. You can also reach me on my email address at mkwakil@gmail.com. Okay, and it's also on Facebook as well, my Facebook page. Okay, and of course I will give you that information again towards the end of the program. But before I kind of get into the book, I really wanted to say something about recording our history. So recording the accounts of our history as Muslim and African-American community is really a window into the 21st century of today that relates to our culture, our customs, our people, our innovation, our advances, and it stretches across the globe. And it must be done, recording our accounts, and it must be done accurately. So you have to do the research. So it is also the inheritance of the next generation to be passed down from the generation who sat under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. It is our obligation to pass this inheritance down to the next generation, and it will be their obligation to pass it down to the next generation. So the logic and the knowledge derived from Imam W.D. Muhammad left us, it has to be preserved for future generations. So we all knew that the Imam was not going to be with us forever. Likewise, we're not going to be with our loved ones forever. We're going to leave some behind. But the mission continues. So we have an opportunity right here, right now, to preserve the knowledge for the future generation. And we must take up the banner, and we have to move forward with it. Otherwise, a part of our history is going to be gone forever if we don't do that. Imam, I'm going to read something that the Imam stated. I don't like to state things or say things that the Imam stated unless it's a direct quote, because sometimes we say things and it's our own words. Okay. And I'll tell you where I got this from. So Imam W.D. Muhammad stated, and this is quote, "I want a million books created, as much as you can. Put my teaching in a book. I encourage you to produce. We need as much help as we can get. I don't think that my book will depend on yours, and I hope yours won't depend on mine. Write yours and get it out there. I hope that you are qualified, because if you're not, you're going to be avoided. We have to do what God intends for us to do if you want to be successful." End of quote. That quote came from the book, The Ramadan Session, Volume 4, page 96, edited by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, for those of you that want to look it up. So Imam is saying we have to produce 1,000, 1,000,000 books and so on and so forth. We have to keep this legacy alive. Because if we don't, it's going to fade away, and the younger generation won't know. Like many of them probably don't know now.
Yeah.
So the book is, I wrote it
but
as a
marriage. Let me say this here. I think what you said is so very, very profound, and I'm so glad that you got that from the Ramadan session, because I'm so much aware of the fact that there are some that are against any publication that is not coming directly. I'm saying this in all sincerity, directly from Imam Muhammad. And so that quote that you gave is very profound. And for those you understand that may be listening, if you're guilty of that, now you just heard it directly from Imam Muhammad in that the Ramadan session that Dr. Medina just gave direct. She didn't even want to paraphrase. She wanted to give it to you direct. And then those of you who are listening, that if you know believers in that community that are guilty of doing that, let them know in terms of the Ramadan session. What year would that be, Dr. Medina? Please just give the year.
2023.
Okay, 2023. And then what page on this Ramadan session?
It can be found. It's volume 4, page 96.
Volume 4, page 96. So those of you who got your pens and pads, write that down so they can go right to it and hear what Imam W.D. Muhammad say. They don't have to be dependent upon his book and vice versa. The Imam was encouraging. And really what he was saying is unlimited. I mean, this is flourishing from his community, and he's encouraging what Dr. Medina is doing. And also he said, alhamdulillah, thank you so much for that, Dr. Medina. I just had to thank you personally and not let that just fly over our head, you know. So it's not like anybody's doing anything just to get self-recognition. It is about the obligation that the Imam W.D. Muhammad is telling us that we all have that obligation, and he's coming from the Quran, where Allah says, spin out of that which we have provided for you. And if Allah has provided that for you, then there's an obligation, like Dr. Medina said, for not only now, for future generations, this has to become a legacy for all of us. Thank you so much, Dr. Medina. Please continue.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And thank you for reiterating that, because I think that's so important. Okay, and so what I decided to do, I thought about how I wanted to present the book after doing the research. So, and I do have to first give credit to Allah, alhamdulillah, for his inspiration. And also I want to mention Imam Dr. Mubashir Upda, who helped me so much with the research and other elements of the book. I would be remiss if I did not mention his name. So I chose to write this story as a narrative because a narrative can be a piece of writing that is characterized by a main character in a setting who the main character encounters a problem. In this case, it's Rashida. She's the main character, along with her grandmother, and she encountered a problem finding information about the flag. In the book, it kind of mentions some things, and again, I'm not going to give everything out to you, but I learned some things that I absolutely did not know before, such as Imam Muhammad was sharing the history of the origin of our flag in connection to a vision or a dream that his father had, and that his father was telling us that there was a book, a new book to come. And that book, of course, is the Quran, because we had never known the Quran. And Imam Muhammad said that he knew, and again, I'm quoting this, I'm not just paraphrasing. He said, I knew that my father's vision of a new book was the vision of the Quran. To me, his vision of the Quran was big in my mind. This ideal that I was seeing hadn't really taken complete form. End of quote. So the Quran flag and an inspiration that was given to Imam Muhammad about his father's vision now, they may have understood the explanation, and he brought that vision to life during his leadership. But the flag also had to do with the early days of the Crusade. Now, this was eye-opening to me. I had no idea about this. The early days of the Crusades, when the Christians carried the symbol of the cross in a war against Islam, and the symbol of the cross was symbolic of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and the faith of the Christians. So in opposition, the Muslims raised their flag of the crescent and the stars as an answer for the cross that was raised against war against the Muslims. Now, I had to go and research and study the Crusades because it's been a long time since I had a history lesson. So the Crusades were a series of religious wars between the Christians and the Muslims a long, long, long time ago. So it started mostly to secure control of the holy site, considered sacred by both the Muslims and the Christians. So the primary objective were to stop the expansion. The Christians' primary objective was to stop the expansion of the Muslim state and to reclaim for Christianity the Holy Land in the Middle East. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? And to recapture territories that had been once Christian. So we know from my early history lessons that the Crusades, there were many, many, many Crusades, but was a bloody and a violent war. And there were ruthless people who wanted to fight for land in the Middle East at any cost. So the Crusades resulted in the recovery of Jerusalem. And I'm sure we've studied that in school. We may not have remembered it. So the flag wasn't just about our identity or elevate. Imam Muhammad said that, I'm trying to think. He said, here it is. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted to get us ready for a new book that would elevate our conscience and increase our faith, and that book was the Quran. And so in the narrative story, the young girl, Rashida, she asked the question, what does elevate consciousness mean? And her grandmother, because this is a conversation between her and her grandmother. See, this is her grandmother passing down the legacy from one generation to another. Her grandmother replies by saying that our level of consciousness was to be raised to heights that we could never imagine. And the Quran empowered us with indisputable knowledge and insight and gave us an upright moral way to live our lives. So during this narrative, Rashida is conversing with her grandmother, who was early on in her early 30s, she was under Elijah Muhammad and later transitioned to Imam Muhammad. So Rashida is getting her information, her legacy, from her grandmother. And it's important, again, I wanted to write it like this to show you the importance of passing that legacy down from generation to generation. excuse me. And it also, you know, if you look closely at our flag, and I never really looked at it real closely before I started doing my research, you'll notice in Arabic writing, and the Quran is open, and it has to do with, I remember the imam saying, wings spread open, but I could not find research about that, so I didn't put it in the book. So unless I have direct research, I'm not going to put it in the book. So we learned, I'm sorry, I lost my thought.
You were speaking about the book in terms of how it is constructed on the flag in terms of it being open.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the words on the Quran, of course, and letters, Arabic letters, is the Shahada, of course. And Rashida was proud to have known the Shahada and had made it in her short lifetime of 9 years old. So she was able to present this information to her class, her fourth grade. She's in the fourth grade, to her fourth grade class, and explain to the students about the series of religious wars called the Crusades and the symbolism behind the flag that her grandmother had told her. So she was able to do that and share that with her class, and of course she was also very proud to say that she had never known information about the flag until her grandmother shared it to her. And now that she knows, she is going to be able to pass it on to her children, and they pass it on to their children, and so on and so forth, so that if the question is ever asked, then we will be able to answer that question. And that just kind of leads me into saying that it's not our history. Of course, the flag is important, but it's not just the flag. There are other elements in our history that we should know the historical content of. And this is one of the reasons why I write, because I like to be able, research is my nature, and I like to be able to research information. It may take me years to research something so that I can have accurate information. Another thing I just wanted to mention about writers, this imam said that he wanted millions of books created, as much as we can. When you write, creative writing engages both sides of the brain. The right side of the brain is our creative side, while the left side of our brain is our analytical, or I can say the logical side of our brain. But we need both sides of the brain to write anything, especially the creative writing part. So the right side of the brain, it handles all the vision of what we want to put on our pages. But the left side of the brain helps us to put it down in a way that it makes sense. So we have to use both sides of our brain, and that is another reason why I write, because I don't want my brain as I age to become rusty and useless. So I want to continue to engage both sides.
I'm just saying alhamdulillah. For those who don't know, I know we always have our Christian brothers and sisters that tune in, listen in to IWDM Radio, and here on the MGM Roundtable. That simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God. Dr. Medina, that is so profound, what it is that you said, you know, in terms of, you know, creative supported logic that you just displayed in terms of the right side of the brain being the creative side, left side expressing the logic and all, and that both is very, very important. You know, you have used that, and this this is something I think that we really, you know, as an educator, and I know you know it so very well, that in terms of even encouraging our children to use both sides of the brain, and mm-hmm. particularly to be creative, to that imagination, that creativeness that Allah has given to us. You know, it's supported in the Quran where Allah says He is the best of creators, which is actually inferring or implicating that I have created a human creation, that I have given them the ability and the capacity with even imagination or the creativeness in the brain, the mind, that energizes the mind, the intellect, to be able to do what it is that you're doing, and even poets and all of this. But at the same time, you can also employ the other side, which is logic, and all too. So you can get the best of what the human brain actually has to offer, and it should be encouraged to utilize. So thank you so much for actually giving that. And I can bear witness to these publications where you have utilized that. Is like in this one being a narrative, but also you understand given the other side in terms of the logic in how and why this would be. And I know you don't want to give too much in regards, and I haven't read, but most of y'all know I can't read anyway, so I'm not going to even act like I can read, but you know, I'm picking up on what it is that Dr. Medina is saying. I'm quite sure our regular listening audience is. Also, I want to say, if you have a question or comment, please press 1. You may just want to give Dr. Medina the greetings and let her know that you appreciate this contribution. And all, we ask that you press 1. Those listening by way of the Internet, you do have to call in to IWDM Radio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. Press 1. And my engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me that you got your hand in the air. You have a question for our honored, very esteemed author, Dr. Medina Waikil, on this outstanding publication. So, Dr. Medina, it seemed like there might have been something else that you want to say before we check to see if anybody got their hands in the air and want to ask a question. No, we got some SDL callers that's listening in and on, and regardless of where you are, mm-hmm. quite sure you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make. Dr. Medina?
Okay, thank you. You know, when you think about history, we wouldn't have our history without writing.
Mm-hmm.
So history is written by many different people, but if we didn't write it down, we wouldn't have it. When
mm-hmm.
our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was alive, there were men called scribes who recorded in writing the words of the Quran revealed to Prophet Muhammad, who committed these words to memory.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet relayed these words orally to his followers. And the oral recitation was later assembled in writing through the work and the efforts of the scribe. So
mm-hmm.
think about for a second what would happen if it was never written down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think about that for a moment. So let me say this, and I encourage everybody. So if you are an entrepreneur, you should be writing. If you are a business person, a teacher, a carpenter, a web designer, any occupation, you should be sharing your skills with others through your writing to help build a better world. We can't get everything from YouTube. So we have to get motivated and we have to get inspired and begin to write and begin to publish a book or many books, because it's strengthens. When you write in a certain field, it strengthens your credibility in that field. So, and you also, let's say, able to connect your shared experiences with others. And plus, writing is a creative outlet. It's a way to express our thoughts, our ideals, our emotions, our passions, and pass on something that we have been given, pass on something we have been blessed with. So if you always wanted to write a book, but you didn't know how to really get started, that's how I started. I always wanted to write, but I didn't know how to get started. So I started reading about writing, and that helped me get started. You can also seek help from those that's already in the writing profession, those that have gone through the process and can guide you through the process. So the time to produce 1,000, 1,000,000 books, that's part of our legacy. The time is now, and this is what our future generation is going to inherit. And just think about it. If there's no history around for them to inherit, what will they have as a legacy? What will we be leaving as a legacy? I think that everybody has a book in them, everybody, whether they realize it or not.
Yes,
and people want to share their stories, and everybody has a story to tell. They tell it in different ways, but everybody has a story. So writing is a way to get that story into the hands of people who care. It's also a good way to spread El Islam by writing about it. So written words actually, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today. Written words influence society.
Yes.
So how we think as a society is largely thanks to what people write. And as a large African-American Muslim community, we have an opportunity to influence what and how society thinks. So we have to take advantage of that opportunity that Allah has given us, because we are influencers in the global world. So we need to take advantage of that. Muslim use stories of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other prophets and other stories in our history to help guide life, to teach children the faith, and to reflect upon our values and our virtues in a way that makes life better for us. So we have to be teachers. So if you want to teach children about Muslim beliefs, Islamic beliefs, then one way to do it is storytelling, by using stories. And
yeah.
Oftentimes those stories should contain morals reflecting Islamic approaches to life. So when you read these stories to your children or your grandchildren or whatever, then you will have a good chance. Here's your Kodak moment. You will have a good chance to talk about Islamic approaches to morality because these stories, these lessons, these moral lessons, they address Islamic things, and they have morals that children can and do understand. So, writing really, I love to read. I'm a prolific reader. Writing improves reading, and reading improves writing. So students benefit from an increase in that skill subset. But we have to get about the business of doing that, of approaching it in that way, so that we can tell our story, and we will have a liable legacy to pass on to others, to our future generations. And I'm not just talking about Muslims either.
That's,
you know,
right.
We'll have a legacy to pass on. And remember, that is their inheritance, just as many of us inherit it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's
you know,
time
that's
for
so,
them to inherit it.
Yes, ma'am. You know, that's so very well said. You know, the encouragement that you've given to our radio listening audience here, IWDM Radio and the MGM Roundtable, to really, really encourage this this writing, preservation of our story, and we do have a story to tell. And, you know, Dr. Medina, it can't be underscored in terms of if we don't, who will and everything. And mm-hmm. we can't get upset if others choose to want to write his story. And I'm saying it like his story. We have our story. So if we know that we won't be given our just due in his story, then it's important for us to write our story. And, you know, I just wanted, you know, to, what it is that you said is so valuable and important to know that in the first five instructing signs that God give to us as our teacher, yes, Allah is our teacher. He's our first teacher. We emphasize that on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. But he says to us, he was the one that taught us the use of the pen. Mm-hmm. Just think about that. He taught us the use of the pen. And then you have to ask yourself as a student, why do you think God said that he taught us the use of the pen? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the first author. He inscribed in his creation, he wrote in his creation his instructing signs and messages in that before, you understand, man was not knowing, and then he taught him. But to Dr. Medina's point, the preservation, the legacy and preservation of that, it had to be preserved with the use of the pen. And he taught him the use of the pen, because the use mm-hmm. of the pen don't mean that you have to go back and start from scratch or from zero, you see. You see, so this is very, very important. So when you make those type of connections that Dr. Medina is so eloquently articulating in terms of the importance of writing, know that it goes back to revelation and what God is revealing. Out of all the things, he's telling us that he taught us the use of the pen and that which we was not yet knowing. Saying that he was the teacher, but he was also teaching us the use of the pen, because there'll be others that will come that's not yet knowing. But what it is that you got to know, you were preserving it by putting it in writing. So, Dr. Medina, we're going to see if we have our radio listeners that have any questions or comments, please press 1. Even if you just like to give her the greetings, and I'm quite sure she would love to hear from you, and hopefully we have some listeners from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, that's on, that will press 1, and across the country if you're listening, and you just really appreciate it. I know I'm already delighted and everything. We'll purchase a copy. Can't wait to get it. You know, and I'm not even able to read, but I understand the importance of supporting our authors and what it is that they're doing. Perhaps somebody else. I have to get a hired reader. How about that? All right, Rashid Salam, are you there? Any hands in the air or question or comment for our very distinguished esteemed guest, Dr. Medina Waqil. Rashid?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mark. We have several hands in the air, so we'll start with St. Louis. We have 314. Where did she go? She dropped off on me? Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Okay, we'll start with Chi-Town. 773-449. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I'm there. That.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Medina. This is Samira. Oh, I'm so inspired by what you said in your book. And not only is your speaking, it's so empowering. I don't know, it's like when I was listening to you, I felt like I was in a classroom setting in elementary school. And the reason why I call it elementary school is because that's our foundation for our learning. And it seems like so many layers of being peeled away of a block of I'm so appreciate what you said today. I'm just so inspired. Sister Medina. You know, I think it's a deeper
because
the teacher spirit in you really resonates with
that. Yeah.
You know, what else? Just thank you. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go
ahead, Dr. Medina.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Islam. It's good to hear your voice again, Sister Myra. I'm glad. And I thank you for those inspirational words. You know, we get inspiration from Allah, but we can also inspire and motivate each other as well. And we should. I try to encourage everybody. If there's a story in you, tell it. Tell it, because you don't know what benefit it could be for others. You don't know how it can uplift someone's spirit or bring a bright day into their life. So tell your story. So this book is not just about our flag, but it's also about preserving our legacy as well. So thank you so much for your kind words.
Not only the book, but what you were sharing from you. That was coming from you. It was so inspiring. You know, it was like the teacher spirit in you. It was so connecting. Mm-hmm. It was so connecting. So I think you should have a speaking platform, because I see where you can really help a lot of people. So thank you, Dr. Medina, so much. I thank you.
Alaikum as-salam.
Thank you so much, Amira, for calling in and for those comments and everything. Alhamdulillah. Press 1 as you go out so we can keep the studio clear here on IWDM Radio. Thank you, Amira. Rashid Salam, who do we have next with their hands in the air? Do we want to ask a question or make a comment to our esteemed guest, Dr. Medina Wakil?
Rashid. Very good. We have 810-399. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
As-salamu alaykum to you, Rashid Salam, and to Lamar Shaheed and his distinguished guest, Sister Medina Mawakia. Our hugs and love to all of you so dearly. You know, as the previous sisters were saying, we are all on the same page with you. And you know what I'm sitting up and thinking about, dear? I said, oh, we got confetti going down. We got balloons. We're so excited. You were so kind to share some very valuable information in terms of those of us that, you know, have that desire to write. And, yes, you are such an inspiration. And I've heard you before, but you're such an inspiration to us all. And we're on the same page with celebrating your book, yourself and your book, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you to write. And inshallah, just you're giving those tidbits that you did give inside of there. It's like, yes, it's very exciting to be able to get the book and actually read it. So I'm looking forward to it. Inshallah, bless me that I'll be able to get my copy as well. Alhamdulillah. And so I just wanted to share that with you. A big old hug, tight hug to you. All right, everybody.
Hug. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my love.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, the priest of Hadi. For those comments and all, and want to say that the priest of Hadi is one of our very distinguished, esteemed hosts of Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab on our sister station AM 360 each and every Saturday evening. And you can tune in. She's on there at 5 p.m. Eastern and 4 p.m. Central, and also 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab, and that number is 425-292-4253, and also 515-605-9891. So you can try either one of those numbers and tune in and listen in. A lot of great information, not only for new Shahadas, but as she said, seasoned Shahadas, and all doing a good job there with AM 360 Radio. Thank you so much. Press 1. go as you go out, Patricia, so we can keep the studio clear. Rashid Salam, any other hands in the air that would like to greet or ask a question to our distinguished guest, Dr. Medina Waikil? Rashid?
Yes, sir. We have a very, very, very special guest on, Mark, 786-797. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I know who this is.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dr. Medina, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I am so happy to hear this, to hear about this book. This is such a blessing. Thank you for writing it. And I have one question. You wrote the book. When you were writing it, what age level were you thinking? Because I know you have the Rashida, and she's in the fourth grade. So what age level were you writing for this book?
Okay. Okay. Is this Dr. Patricia Salayuddin?
She didn't introduce us. Go ahead, tell her. Take your mask off, Dr. Salahuddin.
I don't know that was
you. And
I heard
calling?
It to hear you, your voice.
Yeah, you heard it once before today, right?
Yes, yes. We talked earlier. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yes, yes. Well, you know, I kind of struggled with that in the beginning because I didn't want it just to be a children's book because some of the vocabulary might have been challenging for some of the younger children if they were to read it alone, and many of them wouldn't be aware of the Crusades. So the age group is from middle school to adulthood. A middle school student should be able to handle the vocabulary, and it's a very short read. It's only about 37 pages. You can read it in a couple of hours, so it's a short read. Especially encouraging adults, too, because I think out there there are some adults that may not know of the story of our flag, like I was one.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I was one. And I won't be for long because I'm going to get your book. So I will know the book. Thank you so much. And I would like to see it in all of our Clare Muhammad schools.
Yes, and I'm working on that.
Okay. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And
thank
congratulations.
You so much.
And thank you for the encouragement.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really great. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for calling me in.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, for calling in and those comments. Dr. Salahuddin, press 1 as you are muted so we can keep the studio clear. These are some excellent comments coming in. Rashid Salam, we still have hands in the air?
Yes, sir. We have 856-718. Please state your name.
Okay.
Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I know who that is. One of my pioneers extraordinaire. 856. Is this Tana Ali from South Jersey?
Here she comes. Your mic is open.
American.
Ali, and where are you from?
Tana Ali from South Jersey. Allah said Sister Medina was speaking about Allah taught the use of the pen. And the pen is something that you're going to write down things that you want to go forward with, right? So, and you know that if we write it, it's all history. But the P-E-N, and he taught us, Allah taught us, because he's the authority over before we were even thought of. The first P-E-N, the pen, and things that go forward, try to keep that in mind. And things that go forward, you write down, right? That's the way P-E-N-I-S also makes things go forward. Alhamdulillah.
Very, very well stated.
Yes, ma'am. I want to say that Sultana Ali is one of our senior pioneers extraordinary. She got an abundance of energy. It's hard to keep up with her. And she's done a lot of writing herself in her own rights as an author and even getting name changes. Over 4,000 people in our community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, she helped and assisted them in getting their name changed as free people to freely select their names and honor our foreparents where the names were forced upon them. So she is truly a jewel in our community, Sultana Ali. So thank you so much. And
they also did. We gave the language to America. When the names were changed, we made a new language in America.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll be getting in touch. With you. You know, press one as you go out, Sister Sultana Ali. You know. You know, Dr. Medina, she's truly a jewel in our community, building human development specialist, you know. So, you know, she has a lot of information, a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom. She's a human developer specialist. Think about that, human developer specialist. So she has a lot to say. Sultana Ali from South New Jersey there, and she gets around this country. Wherever you go, Sultana Ali is there. Praise be to Allah for her. May Allah continue to bless her for many, many more years. All right, Rashid, do we have any other callers that's in the queue? Want to ask a question, make a comment to Dr. Medina?
Yes, sir. We made it back to St. Louis, Mark. We have 314-305. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Donna from St. Louis. I've heard about the book and another treasure to add to our collections, our libraries. I'm looking forward to reading it, and I would like to know how and where can people in St. Louis find that book other than online?
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Donna. I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate you asking that question as well. I will have copies available at our Islamic Center. There will be copies available. The cost is $15. For the book. And of course, you know, you can get it online at Amazon. You can get it on my website. It's on my Facebook page, but you can't get it on Facebook. But I will have copies available at our Islamic Center as early as Friday, inshallah. So thank you for bringing that up.
And will we have a signed autograph book?
Absolutely. I'm going to be doing a book signing soon. It was just released last week, so I haven't put the book signing together yet, but I will be having a book signing, yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, thank you. Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Sister Donna Lamont. One of our very distinguished, you know, members here, Al-Mu'minun, a long-time member in the community here, the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Thank you so much for calling in your comments. Press 1, Sister Donna, as you go out the queue to keep the studio clear. Rashid Salam, is there any more hands in the air?
Yes, sir. You got my hand in the air.
Oh, okay. Well, I was saving you for last. I know you got a question, a comment for our beloved Dr. Medina Waikio.
Yes, I'm just so excited about the opportunity that she's presenting to the community as well, and especially to the United States of America. You know, you talked about the word influencer, and it was just so profound. As I was sitting here, I was thinking about our children. And, you know, they say paradise lies at the feet of the children. But paradise is our children, because that is our future. So we don't inspire that future to present something or have something to present to the future, then we find ourselves in a very decadent situation. So I was just so inspired by what you were saying when you say influence, you know, and that's what's happening. So what are we being influenced by now? That's something we have to concern ourselves with as well as the whole world. It's the information, it's disinformation, misinformation, and, you know, all types of things of that nature. What are we really being influenced by? So by reading our own material, gives us a development. We talk about the developer. Now we have a chance to develop our own selves with our own information, our own knowledge, and our own history. And I was just sitting here thinking about how quickly can I get to the table and start writing my book. You know? I have a story to tell. I know I have a story to tell, you know. So I had these ideas. So thank you so much for the inspiration, and thank you so much for inspiring our children as well as our adults to share with our children, because that is the legacy that we're talking about. We always look at money as being our legacy, but it's knowledge and information and intelligence, which is basically the paradise that we're looking for while we're here on Earth. I just wanted to say that, and thank you so much again. Now I'm on the
Well, I want to learn. Thank you. Very, very well stated. Thank you.
Yes. So excellent comment. Thank you so much, Rashi, for that, because community listening to you in terms of how inspiration and motivation your presentation has been. And so that is just what you just said, you know, Allah inspires us, but we are to inspire each other. So obviously, you know, that inspiration becomes encouragement for everybody. Like you say, everybody got a book in them. They got something that they need to share, to leave. And I remember the twins serving a piece on the sister station AM360 when I was there, and all. One of the things he said, you know, you need to put it in a book. He said, because a book can go where you won't be able to go. And your book will still be here when you no longer have a presence. And so this is so very, very important. And, you know, Dr. Medina, I know you know this, but I'm just saying it for the radio listening audience. It's very important. You know, we never have too many barakats. For those who don't know, that means blessings. This is actually one of the ways that you can continuously get blessings when you no longer have a physical presence. Some just think, and it's narrow thinking, but we want to expand our thinking here in the community. Imam W.D. Muhammad is not only in terms of building a mess yet, and that is a real big deal in terms of building a masjid that could be your passport to the Jannah, to the paradise, which is the ultimate goal for all of us seeking paradise. But do we realize that one of the ways that we can perhaps get to Jannah is by leaving something where future generations, as Dr. Medina so eloquently have articulated throughout her presentation, that others can benefit from? And this is Islamic education. It should be our number one priority, hands down. It's irrefutable, you know, in terms of what should be our priority and the preservation of that, because we don't want it to be when we leave. You see, so writing a book, be it however you're expressing it, whether it's a narrative, it's in a poetic way, or as Dr. Medina so eloquently articulated, using that right side of the brain in terms of the creativeness, the imagination, or even the logic, combining both, in your publications, and maybe one publication has a little bit more than the other. But most certainly those who love, to have different types of reading in terms of novels and everything, and those who like more in terms of more of the logic part of it and all, there's something there for everybody. So I want to just echo what it is that you've been saying in your outstanding presentation here on the MGM Roundtable to please, you know, consider doing that, spend out of that which Allah has provided for you. Dr. Medina, we're getting close to the very end, and what I'd like to do with you, as I do with all of my guests, is to give you opportunity for any closing remarks that you would like to leave to the IWDM radio listening audience. They have tuned in to listen to you. It seems like the greatest excitement, and well, it should be, because we have a flag, and for those who don't know, is this is a national, international production here on IWDM Radio. Not only people are hearing us in this country, but they're hearing us outside of this country to know what the community, Imam WDM Muhammad, is actually producing. And I just want to say how proud I am of you, as many of us are here in the STL, but also nationally. And I just want to just say salute you in terms of this work and the work that you've been doing, that you're still doing, and inshallah, meaning God willing, for those who don't know, that you will continue to do, and the great contributions you're making. So I want to give you opportunity for any closing remarks that you would like to leave what our very astute radio listeners here at IWDM Radio on the MGM Roundtable. And also, I want you to once again give it real slow in terms of the different ways that they can purchase this outstanding publication, which is A Muslim American Quranic Flag for Rashida. It is a story. It is embodying the history in terms of our flag. All of us should want that. And also, Dr. Medina, please, your closing remarks and also the information how this publication can be purchased. Dr. Medina.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me this chance. First, I will restate how the publication can be purchased. It is currently on Amazon. The cost is $15. Or you may purchase it on my website at Medina, and it's M-A-D-I-N-A-H, WakilWakilBooks.com. And it's all one word, MedinaWakilBooks.com. Feel free to email me at mkwakil@gmail.com. I no longer give my personal number out anymore for reasons I'm sure you know. But you can reach me either on my email address or on my website. I also want to say to those of you that are considering writing, or perhaps you're already involved in writing, I do book coaching. I book coach. I usually only take 2 to 3 clients at a time so that I can give them my individual attention. You can go onto my website if you're interested in book coaching, if you need a coach to help you get started or to help you throughout the process. You can go on my website and you can sign up on the website for book coaching. The cost is $30 per hour for that. And that's extremely reasonable because most book coaches start at about $200 per hour. So, and also I'd be willing to give free consultations to those of you that just need a little advice or just a little push or just a little motivation, that's no problem. You can get in touch with me on my website or my email address. And lastly, I just wanted to say that together we can create, I thought about the word army, but that's too small. Together we can create a nation of well-informed individuals that research and write, and when asked the question, they know the answer, and that's because we are all still students. We are still students. So remember the words of Imam Muhammad, you know, to create 1,000 books, 1,000,000 books, to create as many as we can, get our history out there, get our legacy out there, and that way we will be successful. So thank you, Mark, for this opportunity, and thanks as well. I've enjoyed myself so much. Thank you all, and I get inspired by everyone else as well. So thank you.
We want to thank you. And you know, Dr. Medina, when you were saying that, it just brought to mind that, as I recall, I think it was the year 2021, when the time to be grateful on history has an asterisk marked by it. It was the one and only virtual time to be grateful that was held in Atlanta, Georgia, when you teamed up, and maybe he's listening tonight. I know I had a personal conversation with him that you would actually be on, and I think he had a previous engagement, but he said that he would tune in a little bit later if he could get away. Another very distinguished, esteemed author, Imam Mikhail Sahir, of North Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, and you all gave an outstanding presentation workshop in terms of book publishing, and of course, Imam Mikhail Sahir, he also was part of a panel that was in the Meadowlands, New Jersey, along with Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, Imam Abdul Aziz, and I can't remember the other brother, but they actually actually gave an outstanding workshop in terms of how to publish the work that they had done, the literary work and everything. So you have your own, want to say you have your own publishing company. Also, if you want to say something in regards to that one, give you time do that too, Dr. Medina.
Okay, well, thank you. I had completely forgotten about that. the name of my publishing company is Triumph. Triumph Publication, LLC. I've been in business. This is my fourth year in business, alhamdulillah, because there's been times, boy, when I thought, whew, but this is my fourth year in business, and I do help individuals with self-publishing if that's their choice, to self-publish your own book. You have more, when you self-publish, of course, you have more freedom, you know, than going with a traditional publishing company, or either going with independent publishing company. So I do help guide you through the process from point A all the way through the process of how to self-publish. And I'm glad that you mentioned the workshop that Imam Sahir and I co-authored that workshop. Remember the year, but I look forward to
2021.
Yeah, the virtual. Yes. And I learned a lot from him too as well. So I look forward to also doing another workshop along with him as well. I was asked to do one this past year, Time to Be Grateful, but I was a little bit ill and wasn't able to do it. So, and I also do workshops, online virtual workshops for groups, if anyone is interested in that as well. But I'm not worried about the money. I'm worried about us leaving a legacy. You know, I'll do it for free if I have to. I just want us to leave that legacy for the upcoming generation, and we can feel good about that when we know that. We feel good about it. I'm leaving something behind for this generation that's coming behind me. Imam Muhammad taught us so much. It's time for us to give back now. So I don't want to get too excited. So
well, you know, getting excited is not a bad thing, because we should be excited about any good that comes from our community. It always gets me excited. That's a good excitement, and we should be excited. You know, when one of us do good, you understand, it makes all of us feel good. And most certainly, I just echo everybody that have come on and just say how much they appreciate you, your inspiration, your motivation. You can hear it in your voice and all. It makes you want to just start writing right now. And just to know that Allah has blessed you to be very resourceful in our community, I consider you to be one of the jewels in our community, not only here in the STL, but also nationally in terms of the contribution. So may Allah continue to bless you richly in your efforts and all. And looking forward to having you back. You have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio and also on the MGM Roundtable. Maybe look forward to, in the very near future, to get you and Imam Mikhail Sahir on and teaming up in terms of actually disseminating the roundtable. Can be used for disseminating that information like you two did back in 2021. Those who are inspired and really want to write books and all the, some of the things that you had to learn and he had to learn too, but willing to share that information with our radio listeners. I think that would be a great roundtable to have in the very near future. So I want to thank you so much, dear sister Dr. Medina Waikil. Keep up the great, great work. I want to say to the radio listening audience, please, let's support the good. That's an obligation, whether you know it or not. Allah has already said that we are to enjoy and support all that's good. And who can deny it's refutable, indisputable, that when we write our own books, preserve our own history, and looking out as a part of our legacy for future generations to come, that is good. We have an obligation, a responsibility, if you will, to support that. So thank you so much once again, Dr. Dina Waikil. And we're going to look you back and, you know, ASAP. Maybe get you teamed up with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And you all can conduct something here on the roundtable. I'll be honored to have you back. And also,
alhamdulillah. And thank you so much, Mark, for your platform and all the work that you do to aid our community and move us forward.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you so much. And want to say to our radio listening audience, this actually concludes tonight's production here on IWDM Radio. I want to say that the beat goes on. Here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow it will be the Sister Learning Lab 2, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that will be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Khalila Akbar, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And it will be part 2 on what is marriage and are you really married. This is a topic that was going to turn into a mini-series. We do ask that you do tune in, bring your pens and your pencils and your paper, and take down good notes, if you will. Please inform family members, your friends, colleagues, and neighbors and community members to please tune in. You all are our invited guests for tomorrow's production in terms of what you think marriage really is. And then, are you really married? After being able to answer that, and we will be utilizing the Quran, Al-Quran life example of the Prophet Muhammad in living the Quran, and also the Tafsir, clear explanation of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and social science, as everything has been, is a research language of Dr. Medina Whitehill, and also have been explored in terms of human beings and human behavior. So please tune in for that. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back here to IWDM Radio with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. Salatul Jumu'ah begins here on IWDM Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Saturday, the Muslim Book Reading Club. Yes, that's right, the Muslim Book Reading Club. Just talking to Dr. Medina Whitehill, as she have a fetish for reading and authoring books and all. We have a Muslim Book Reading Club that's each and every Saturday, and we are coming to the conclusion of another author extraordinaire, that's Dr. Zakia Muhammad Rahim Anna, who had passed away, but IMAS made sure that this last publication, two-book volume, outstanding on our Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the Mother of our Nation, will be reading the last chapter and making commentary and insights on this outstanding publication. And so we do ask that you tune in. And it will begin at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Saturday. And a special for this Saturday, as we'll have a special MGM roundtable, my good brother and friend, and also my teacher and instructor, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, who is the assistant imam, associate imam there with Imam Suleiman in the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. He has agreed to join me, as he has two outstanding classes. This is very important. Islamic education is very important. It's on foundations of the religion of Al-Islam, and it's what every Muslim should know in regards to this religion and practical applications. I just got to just say this. He will be offering one-hour classes each day, Monday through Thursday, for 1 hour. 1 hour. He will be teaching on Monday the basic and fundamentals in regards to belief on Monday. Or on Tuesday, he will be teaching the basic and fundamentals on worship, and that's from purity of faith to salat, all the way to Hajj itself. And on Wednesday, he would be teaching on the prophetic sunnah of the prophet, and also, in addition to that, the sirah of the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1 hour. And on Thursday, it culminates with teaching the foundation of the Quran and the science of the Quran. 1 hour. And guess what? Well, the price is so ridiculously low. I am going to have to just say, for $25 plus tax, you're going to get it. So I have vowed to help him to get as many in this class as possible. You can obtain it by way of Zoom. You can, like me, I can't get on Zoom. I don't think nobody wants to see me anyway. But you can also just the call ID and passcode. And if you happen to miss it, it is archived. And you can come back to it. Oh, you can't beat that. So especially in the STL, we're going to put it out in the announcements, but all across the country, We want that class to be filled up to the brim. No excuse. You can throw away $25 in a week's time and not be able to account for it. We know you can afford $25 a month. It's not about the money here, for real. Email Rashad Abdul-Rahman. We want to really get this information out to the community. And if you all know, he was a direct student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, taught directly by a scholarly, learned Imam Y.D. Muhammad. And he used the same methodology. So you don't want to miss, you don't want to miss that interview. And that will be happening at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's high noon Pacific Coast Time, a special on the MGM Roundtable with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and our special honored guest, Imam Rashad Abdul-Rahman, right here on IWDM Radio. That'll be this Saturday. So please tune in. Help us get the word out. And we want you to sign up, get registered. And you got 1 hour Monday through Thursday. In addition to that, here is another class that is going to be introduced by Imam Rashad Abdul-Rahman. It's on grammar and terminology of the Quran. Now, you definitely want to be in that class, terminology and grammar. Allah has blessed me to be in the class, previous class, in terms of terminology. This is how you get a chance to learn the words in the Quran, what they mean, and the terminology. So this is an excellent class, and that class is on Tuesday and Thursday only. Tuesday and Thursday only for the whole month, just $50 a month. Can't beat it. So those of you interested in the grammar of the Quran and the terminology, you have this opportunity to be registered. It's on Tuesday and Thursday. So you're going to get more details in regards to that as Imam Rashad Abdul-Rahman, inshallah, has agreed to be with me this Saturday, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central, and high noon would be Pacific Coast time. And also, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, Imam Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People. You can get it each and every Sunday afternoon with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, is high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he has an outstanding production called ABC. It's like 1, 2, 3, but it is Al-Islam-based conversation. That's what ABC stands for, Al-Islam-based conversation, where a variety of topics are talked about, but they are based Al-Islam. And so you want to tune in for that, be a part of the conversation, the communication, and the information that's being disseminated. It begins each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And Tuesday, the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam from the STL, and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, and they're looking to do more in 2024 as they have expanded their learning lab from the science of your health to the science of your health and wealth learning lab. That's each and every Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, at 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Please bring your pens and pads, take down good notes, and ask any question that you may have, and they will give you the scientific answers that we all need in terms of those who have researched this natural creation, the Almighty God, Allah. How about that? You know, we're just talking about research, 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 you know, so the search and the research in terms of the validation, the authentication of what Allah has put into this natural creation that will help us to have optimal health. So please tune in that. And you want to be healthy financially, too. You don't want to be sick in the pocket and all either. So please tune in for that reconstruction. Wednesday, which is tonight, it is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and we welcome her back. You know, we say, yay, Dr. Patricia Slaudine is back with us, and Rashid Salam filled in superbly and all, and I know he'll look and try to make arrangements so the first Wednesday is he going to be on assignment elsewhere, but we're looking to make sure that he still will be here on the first Wednesday of the month, inshallah, God willing. And we will be back on the six attachments that we should have to our children. And this is very, very important, so please tune in to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that happens each and every Wednesday. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And you know it's a doubleheader because following that is the MGM Roundtable that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where I like to bring and present to you each and every Wednesday night here very distinguished and esteemed guests like we had tonight, Dr. Medina Whitehill, the movers and shakers of our community, inside the community, Imam Muhammad, and outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community, looking to do more in 2024. So please tune in. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, we want you to know that IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal that has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. Those who allow their subscription to lapse, we ask that you pick it back up, and we ask that you be so very patient with us. And looking to do more in 2024, those who have a one-year subscription, we ask that you double it. And those who have the wherewithal, think about a family member, think about a friend, think about a colleague, a neighbor, a community member, a pioneer, your local library, entry from prison, and all. Think about giving a gift to someone that really can benefit from that. And once again, this is the printed word, our principles and values embodied in the Muslim Journal. And those of you who think about being a lifetime subscriber has and all, and for those who have an interest in that, you can call me personally, as I am part of the national advocate for lifetime subscribers for the Muslim Journal. You can call me 314-435-7213. That's 314-435-7213. And I can give you further information how you can be a lifetime subscriber. And all the lifetime subscribers to the Muslim Journal will be have a special honor, inshallah, this year in the 20th anniversary of the Muslim Journal's Time to Be Grateful to be held there in Miami, Florida, this year. So with that being said, I want to thank our radio listeners, because without you, there wouldn't be IWDM Radio. A special thanks go to Rashid Salam, always in terms of double duty, outstanding job in terms of doing this. And a special thanks to my beloved sister, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, in terms of the insight and wisdom that she shares with us. And a very special, special thanks to Dr. Medina Whitehill, who has been an outstanding guest here on the MGM Roundtable. And so I like to say, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum, our queen of soul, my good sister and friend, Wa Elamin.
believe in the prophet and the messenger's hope. He sends to mankind with God. My harmony is the message.